Together, aligned in peaceful oneness, we celebrate a joy-filled world co-created in love, harmony, and abundance. One more time, just seeing it, just filling this energy, filling this room. Aligned in peaceful oneness, we celebrate a joy-filled world co-created in love, harmony, and abundance. Wow. And we also say namaste. Light within me greets the light within you. Namaste. I should have turned somebody close to you and say namaste.
Namaste.
Light within me greets the light within you. Namaste.
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 Well, high on a hill in one of the Midwestern towns stands a real old post office. The building just happened to be situated so that when it rains, the water flows down one side of the roof and goes out on the hill into a stream that joins the river that empties out into the Great Lakes. While the rain falling in on the opposite side of the roof travels into a small brook which feeds into the higher river that goes into the Mississippi and then out into the Gulf of Mexico. So tenuous is the position of the raindrop over this post office that the slightest wind will determine the direction of its fate. Gulf of Mexico, Great Lakes. Right? Simply amazing. Have you ever felt your own fate was waiting to be determined? That you were suspended tenuously between two choices? Caught in indecision about which way to go? All the while wishing you had some divine, unmistakable sign to direct you which way to go. Ever felt that way? Yeah. Well, then you might affirm, right? I am one with the light of wisdom, and I am allowing it to guide me. Okay? So we're going to say it one more time. I am one with the light of wisdom, and I am allowing it to guide me. You're going to practice this all week long. You got to remember it now. You got to take that little slip of paper from the bulletin and take it home, put it on the mirror. Okay. I am one with the light of the wisdom, and I am allowing it to guide me. Did I say it right?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Seldom do the options in life appear so clear-cut as choosing between the Gulf of Mexico or the Great Lakes, right? Yeah. Which would you want to go to? Gulf of Mexico or Great Lakes? I guess it would depend on the time of year, but... But there's a pretty amazing difference. Our choices offer equally, you know, equal advantages and disadvantages in whatever we're choosing. How do we know which way to lean, right? Often it's heard, you know, how many times? Lord, give me a sign, right? You ever said that to yourself? Lord, give me a sign, a big, unmistakable sign, and just maybe he could write it out on a billboard, right, along the highway, or send a neon message flashing across your TV sign. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na, this is what you need to do. Wouldn't that be cool? Any sign to tell us which way is the right track. You ever thought about that? But then there's a part of us that says, I don't want somebody directing which track I'm going on. You ever felt that way? No, nobody in Unity would ever think that. Know the guidance you seek is always just a moment away. Each month in talks in our newsletter, we focus on one of our 12 spiritual powers, one of our 12 spiritual chakras, our faculties, our energy centers. And so far this year, I've spoken on faith and love and strength. And today I want to move more deeper, further inward. As we move inward, the closer that we move to our spiritual faculty of wisdom, which is also called spiritual discernment. Unity is actually called a number of different things, but the one that makes the most sense to me is spiritual discernment, wisdom and spiritual discernment. The more clearly, when we engage it, we can begin to feel and hear the promptings of the intuitive voice of spirit. You see, it's a natural knowing capacity that can direct us in the way that we might travel on this spiritual journey that we call life. Although the light of wisdom may at times seem to announce itself through the intellect, you know, which we often in Western culture always put the intellect up here, it actually is not as logical or calculated, right? Or I missed a line. The intellect is up here, right? That's what we say. But spiritual discernment actually occurs right down in here, in the heart and in the solar plexus, right? And when spiritual wisdom comes, when we get that divine insight, it's not always logical, right? But this natural knowing capacity of spirit will direct us in the way that we might travel, right? Spiritual discernment isn't logical. It isn't calculated decision that we make, but rather it is an insight. It's a feeling that often defies the logic that we're trying to process. I know nobody knows what I'm talking about, you know, when they get caught in the intellect and they want to do something else and they're going, ooh, right. Anybody ever feel lost when they're watching TV? No? Oh, yeah, no. Hear something on the news and all of a sudden you're going in five different directions at one time?
Oh, yeah, the news.
Right? Yeah. Right? And so we find ourselves, we have this intuitive insight and this feeling that guides us in this way, and it's always peaceful, it's always harmonious. The wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceful and gentle, willing to yield the fruits of mercy and good fruits. James 3:17. I thought it was that one up there when I was reading that, but it wasn't that one. Yeah, you see, all the ancients all knew about the light of wisdom. But maybe you're like one of the many people today that aren't in the habit of listening for this type of inner wisdom. And to come and allow that wisdom just to come bubbling up from within us. Ironically, it takes a little spiritual practice to begin to really listen to spirit. A little bit of patience to recover this process of listening to some intuitive voice. It should come very natural to us. But you see, most of us lost this skill as a child. You see, in our society, we are not taught the importance of listening to this very quiet voice of spirit. People like me were raised believing it was Satan trying to talk to us. So we weren't taught to develop this inner ability of spiritual discernment. In fact, many of us were taught that God's Spirit was outside of us, out there somewhere, way out beyond the clouds, somewhere on the other side of the universe, looking down at us. That He might be listening to you. That is, if He wasn't really so busy. Right? That He might be listening, and that because He might be listening, that we were actually at the hands of this merciless, cold, cruel world and the dictator up there. So we better be on guard for the evil one who is sure to come. Because when that guy shows up, you're in a heap of trouble. I can tell I'm the only one that was taught that. Yeah, we were taught that knowledge is power. But it was a knowledge that comes from books and formalized education and degrees and spiritualized training. That is definitely not something that we have within us. Rather, knowledge, it was rather a knowledge that at times seemed to be learned by drilling a hole in the top of your head. And that's actually what I was told in school sometimes. They had to drill a hole in the top of my head to put the knowledge inside of me. Yeah. Pretty scary, too. Oh, my gosh. We are taught to seek outside of ourselves for the answers to our problems. Seek out an expert, an authority, a professional on all issues. And if none are available, we got to go find the right price and go find that right person who will listen. We believe we acquire knowledge like a computer. Input, please. Input, please. Input, please. Input, please. Right? You know, you ever just look at a computer and wait for it to give you an answer if you didn't put some input into it? The problem is that everyone has a different answer based on their perception. This type of acquiring knowledge from outside sources also gives us a way out of taking responsibility for the decisions that we actually make. Isn't that wonderful to have somebody else to blame? So that I can blame you for all the problems that I have. All the while, the perfect solution for you remains locked away deep down inside of you, waiting for you to call it forth. Somehow down through the ages, in our pursuit to refine and claim our power through knowledge, we've actually forgotten the true essence of knowledge comes from deep down within a wellspring in us. That's right. That's what the ancient mystics would have said. That's what they all taught. You all know that the word Gnostic, an ancient Greek word, means knowledge. And during Constantine times, if you were a Gnostic, is that how you say it? Gnostic? If you were a Gnostic, you were just executed. Did y'all know that? They destroyed whole civilizations because they were based on Gnosticism. Oh my gosh. Gnostic is an ancient Greek word that means knowledge. It was a term for certain people, certain teachers like Plato and Socrates, right? Who believed that all true knowledge was achieved through inner revelation that flowed forth from somewhere deep down in us, rather than by studying outer appearances and what seem to be cause and effect. Knowledge based on outer appearances seemed to be useful and practical, but was considered variable because it was based on opinions, beliefs, and facts that were based on outer appearances, which in truth has no permanence. Consequently, mankind has been dumbfounded when proven factual knowledge suddenly is disproven. Like when Newton was sitting underneath that apple tree and discovered gravity. Or like Christopher Columbus, who proved that the earth was not flat. He didn't discover America. He proved that the world was round. And those white Wright brothers, or were they really the wrong brothers? Because they taught the world that humankind could fly. Right? Or 100 years ago, who would have thought that mankind could walk on the moon or travel to Mars? That back then, 100 years ago, they believed that our bodies and all forms of matter were actually solid, just as they appear to be, rather than being a collection of cells composed mostly of energy, as physics and quantum physics has proven in our day and age. The belief that wisdom is attained through study of outer things and appearances is actually an error prevalent in our day and age. You know, the ancient Gnostics believed that true knowledge was gained through a process similar to birthing. That a teacher was more like a midwife, someone who helped the students give birth to an idea or an insight. Jesus modeled this teaching style in many of his parables. Yeah, Jesus taught by this method, hoping to inspire his listeners to search for evidence of the kingdom of heaven in his stories. Yeah, he was a storyteller. What if when you read the Gospels that you looked at that and saw him telling a story? Oh my gosh, right? He presented his ideas and stories in everyday situations that were polarities, opposites, ends of a prevalent system of thought that would pull the listener into different directions once they knew both ends of the story. You know, what about the story of the Good Samaritan, right? No such thing back then, no such thing as a Good Samaritan. Or the story of the prodigal son. How could that father have ever accepted back that prodigal son after he left his home and deserted his father and broke all the Jewish rules? Or how about the parable of talents, right? Right? The guy didn't have no money, got thrown out in the outer darkness and where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. How's that fair? Right? How is that fair? Each story called into question the laws and customs of their time and how they were applied to spiritual law. Spirit's outworking didn't always seem to be fair or make any logical sense based on the physical reality. The stories needed to be discerned through the light of wisdom. Seldom did Jesus provide answers, right? How often do you hear Jesus providing an answer for something, causing his listeners to search for new answers that might come? He encouraged their search. If you continue studying my words, You are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Right? You got to study what he was saying. Take it into the heart, and what you learn will set you free. Indeed, there is in each one of us a knowing capacity that transcends the intellect. The knowledge of books and outer appearances, right? There's a part of us that knows way beyond that. Nearly everyone has, at some point in time, touched this hidden wisdom and has been more or less astonished at the revelations that come bubbling up from within them. This wisdom has always existed since the beginning of time. Socrates and Plato didn't invent it, as we often deny in the school systems today that they actually were the creators of something called maieutics, right? Jesus didn't create it, but through his demonstration of the inner power, he presented ways for us to experience this wisdom. This way, the light of wisdom is right now a part of our awareness. It is in you and all about you, and you will come into conscious relation with it when you believe in its power. If you ignore the light of the wisdom, you deny it exists in us and for us, and we remain in the darkness of ignorance. It's exactly like that man. You all know that man, right? Living in the basement of a large house, who refuses to go upstairs, declaring that because the upper rooms did not come down to him, they weren't there. Right? They didn't exist. See, we got to go up. We got to go up in consciousness and possess those upper rooms. They are ours when we choose to acknowledge our inner wisdom and call it forth to work in our life. And yet many people do not choose to see it. It's there. How many times did Jesus say that? Having ears, can you not hear? Having eyes, do you not see? Right? He also said, the light shines into the darkness, but the darkness does not apprehend it. Curious, right? So now, the time is now, right? Don't you think? The time is now. Time that if you are not already listening to this inner intuitive wisdom, that you begin to refine your inner ear. Or should I say your inner solar plexus, right? And we think, how do we go about doing that? Well, the first thing is that you start with the decision or challenge that you might be facing right now. Right? None of you have any decisions or challenges in life, do you? No. Well, take one of those decisions and bring it into your awareness. Right? No better time than the present to start, right? Perhaps you have a vision for your life and you don't know what's the first step to take or which way to go. You know, making a list is always a good thing, aren't we? That's one of the things we're told. Make a list of all the different things we like and don't like about this decision, right? Make a list of all the different things that you have to do to achieve that point, right? Y'all have done this list of pros and cons before, haven't you? And when you get all done, has it served its purpose? Right? Maybe not. So you got to do it all over again, right? Soon you discover making a list is a fine intellectual exercise. It is valuable in helping to define the choices at hand, but so often it doesn't help making the decision. does it? You see, divine wisdom is actually more of a feeling that is felt, like I said, right here in the solar plexus, right? Somewhere, it's not somewhere in your mind, like you were taught in schools, like we were all taught in schools. How many of you have heard the phrase, I got a gut feeling? Nobody here has ever probably said it, right? The gut feeling is a voice of pure wisdom calling to us. The solar plexus is the power center for the faculty of spiritual discernment. And the more that we exercise it and begin to listen to it, the more we understand which way it's moving us to be. And many years ago, as I was preparing to move from Chicago to Kansas City to attend ministerial school, I always found myself in this sense of panic. I had been concentrating on getting our house in Chicago ready to sell, focusing all my attention on selling it. So I put off finding a place to live until it was done. Logical, isn't it? Yvonne, my wife at the time, and I had decided to take a trip to Memorial Day weekend to Kansas City just to look at a place to live. And I hurried home from work that day, and I loaded up the car and got ready for the trip, but something didn't feel right. You know, there was this pain in my solar plexus, right? And when we were in the car and all ready to go, to get on the road, Yvonne looked at me and said, "Now, don't get upset." But she had been having this feeling that we're not supposed to go to Kansas City that weekend. So I looked at her in surprise, and I told her I had the exact same feeling. So we did something very strange. We listened to our intuition, and we canceled the trip. And we decided to take the trip in 2 more weeks down to Kansas City, which was actually just 2 weeks before school started. How can you go looking for a place to live 2 weeks before you're supposed to start school or start a job? That wasn't the way that we had planned things, right? The next morning, a package arrived in the mail, which actually contained a home and apartment guide for the Kansas City area. The following week, my mother and my mother-in-law both came to Chicago for an unannounced visit. I don't know how we ever arranged that to happen, right? However, both of our moms were real estate agents. And we told them the area that we wanted to live in and the price range, and they went to work. They got the home guides out and they started making phone calls to these different real estate agents in Kansas City, and they planned the whole home search and set up 6 homes for us to go visit in Kansas City. Our trip to Kansas City went really smoothly as we looked at 6 homes our mothers had set up with the realtor. None worked. Of course not, right? And the real estate agent suggested that we look at 1 more house, and it had come onto the market just the day before. And you know what? It was just what we wanted. 3 bedrooms, a full finished basement, a full large backyard with a swing set for Siobhan, who was 3 at the time. And it was on the other side of the fence was a 5-acre city park. Oh, If we had gone Memorial Day, this house would not have been available. And if we had gone on Memorial Day, probably many of the people that we wanted to go see weren't going to be home. Because everybody travels on Memorial Day, don't they? Well, we decided to make a bid on the house, and that's when the real miracle began to work. You see, the real estate agent asked us how we were going to purchase this house. Oops. What bank would loan us the money? Because we weren't going to be working. The thought really hadn't crossed my mind at all. We had very good credit, and our house in Chicago was sure to sell someday. And they just looked at us a little curious, and then he said, you better talk to the mortgage advisor at the local bank to find out what you might do. And the mortgage advisor listened to our story in amusement and disbelief. And then he told us that we really only had one option, and he gave us a game plan on how to complete the deal. Now, this man would gain nothing from the adventure, right? He wouldn't gain anything from the adventure. The owners of the home owned a home, and were living in Springfield, Missouri. So the house was vacant, right? And they held the mortgage on the house in Kansas City, but it was very small because they had owned the house for 28 years, and it was just about paid for. So the owners would need to hold the mortgage on the house as we paid them rent, but we would have to make a large enough down payment to pay off their mortgage. With a little bit of spare to get them excited about the idea. So the owners at first resisted the offer, although and they thought about it, and they decided to think it over, because the offer didn't make any logical sense to them at all. It wouldn't make any logical sense to anyone, actually. The next day, the owners came back, and they said, well, they didn't know why, but something kept telling us to say yes. Right? Yes. So the house proved to be an ideal for the family. And when you follow the promptings of our intuition and allow the light of wisdom to guide you, all goes smoothly. There wasn't a shadow of doubt that we had made the right choice to delay our trip to Kansas City. We had listened to the deep intuitive knowing while casting away our well-trained logic. In our non-resistance, the wind blowing like a little gentle breeze had blown us to the right side of a roof that was best for us. The light of wisdom had been directing us. And somehow, we intuitively allowed it to guide us in our decisions. And that's how it will be for you. When we rely on the power of spiritual discernment and begin to feel that wisdom flowing in and through you, activating that chakra and allowing that still, small voice of spirit, the voice of the divine to guide you in what needs to be done. It can come suddenly and without warning. Just as Jesus cautioned us, watch therefore, for you do not know the day of the Lord. Your inner Christ is coming, and you simply have to wait and be open to receptive to it. That's a very different understanding of the day of the Lord is coming, isn't it? To understand that in that moment now, when we surrender our ego and allow the divine to flow through us. The Lord will guide us in what we need to do. The day of the Lord is coming. Wow, right? Lift us up into wonder of the spiritual dimension, of this field of infinite possibilities that we call heaven. It's all around us all the time. I am the light of wisdom, and I am allowing it to guide me. So I want you all to affirm that with me one more time. I am the light of wisdom, and I am allowing it to guide me. One more time for practice, because you've got to write it on the mirror and say it all week long. I am the light of wisdom, and I am allowing it to guide me. Yes, sir. I invite our prayer chaplains.